Now let us concentrate about rebuilding the tourism. Till now we covered what are the challenges, the facts, the figures, the trends, and the actions which have taken place. Everything teaches us something, okay? And we all have gone through something together, that is COVID-19. Each one of us have learned their own lessons, okay? And we have, even on a personal level, transformed into something else. So we all will consider and take this as a positive aspect. Similarly, this is also a transformation which is happening. And this is going to help us to rebuild tourism industry into something much better. Rebuilding tourism is a priority. That is what the first point says. But the sector must now become more sustainable and become more resilient in the future. We have to make sure that there are some policy frameworks which are planned, which are taking place, and make sure that if at all some other crisis hit us, as a tourism industry, we are not going to collapse down the way we did in the present crisis. The tourism continues to be one of the sectors hardest hit by coronavirus pandemic, and the outlook remains highly uncertain. Yes, even today, 2022, we cannot say or cannot predict that we are certain where we are going. We are absolutely sure about the predicted future, about the predicted percentage of increase in the percentage of revenues, or you know, the picture perfect is going to happen in 2023 or 2025. We are still very, very uncertain about the future that tourism has. Now, vaccines. So vaccines has definitely brought hope, but obviously there are certain countries which are behind the vaccination drive. Okay, what it means is that there are not enough vaccination centers, or there are no resources for the same. Apart from that, there is a sect of society which do not really want to get vaccinated. All of this are problems which we have to acknowledge and face and try to understand, come to a way to overcome those problems. So although vaccines, it's news, and there are so many people who have vaccinated, is a very, very positive thing. It has boosted hopes for the recovery. But like I said, the challenge still remains. Now, let's see domestic tourism, which has restarted. Now, this is something which is very, very hopeful. Like we spoke about it earlier, I, as a traveler, would rather proceed ahead and take a domestic vacation than an international one. This is going to really help the economy. Okay. So, for example, in a country like India, with a massive potential for domestic tourism, what was earlier happening was there was more focus on outbound tourism. Now what is going to happen is that the people of India themselves are going to go for regional tourism. They are going to see our own country. So that's where it comes, Dekho Apna Desh, right? So this is going to actually help us. Okay, a country like India, it's going to be really, really helpful. And more importantly, the positive impact will be seen in medium, small organizations which are directly or indirectly related to tourism. This will also positively affect the job market in India. So even though this particular picture is very, very positive, real recovery is still not there. What we are doing currently, what we are experiencing currently, is actually surviving. Okay, we are trying to come back to where we were. Okay, we are yet not on a profit margin or profitable situation as of now. Now, these are certain points which are something that a government should take up. Like key priorities of the government is to rejuvenate tourism. This includes restoring traveler confidence. Now, I have already spoken about this. What it means by restoring traveler confidence is the protocols, the programs, the rules and regulations, whatever they are, They need to be uniform. They need to be, easily available for a traveler. They need to be less stressful. A traveler should be confident about the machinery which is involved if at all there is an emergency on travel. Supporting tourism business to adapt and survive. Now, here, majorly what government would want to do is train the skill sets, okay, which will help to adapt and survive the new normal situation which is going to happen. Promoting domestic tourism and supporting safe return of international tourism. So this is the point which is major priority of all the governments across the world. Promoting domestic tourism and supporting the international tourism. Clearly, we cannot completely say no to international tourism. We want the international tourism. We want the foreign exchange. We want the international tourists to come to our country. All right. So it's very essential for us to do that, but in the safe mode. Providing clear information to travelers and businesses and limiting uncertainty. Now, this is a very difficult scenario. Why? Because the situation keeps changing. So a set of rules is passed today. Probably that set of rules might not be suitable for a situation change in about a month or 2 months or 3 months, right? So a clear information needs to be given for the travelers. So for example, 2 months back, suppose an RT-PCR test was mandatory for XYZ destination, the situation may change and it may not be mandatory later. Okay, there might be an insurance rider necessary, but later may not be necessary. So one must have a clear picture, clear understanding, and clear information to be there. Evolving response measures to maintain capacity in the sector and address gaps in support. Strengthening cooperation within and between the countries. Now, here it is very important to understand, we have already spoken about travel bubble. Now, there are certain countries which are playing very safe. They don't want to open the international skies. So the governments of each and every country worldwide have to come together, understand the situation and work in a cooperative way to make sure that international tourism is back to normal, to make sure that the restrictions are less, building more resilient and sustainable tourism. Now, we all have an opportunity to improve. So this crisis has given us an opportunity. Every crisis is an opportunity. That's a very philosophical way of seeing it. The crisis is an opportunity to rethink tourism for the future. Tourism is at a crossroads, and the measures put in place today will shape the tourism of tomorrow. That is very, very true. So what we are going to formulate today, the policies that we are going to formulate, the frameworks that we are going to do today are going to affect the future of tourism. They are going to actually shape how the tourism industry is going to be there 10 years from now. The governments need to consider the long-term implications of the crisis while capitalizing on digitalization, supporting the low-carbon transitions, promoting the structural transformation, all of them which are needed to build a stronger, more sustainable, and more resilient tourism economy. So we as a part of the tourism industry should also come up with certain ideas which can be given to the government and which will help in formulating the policies. So let us summarize the session. The COVID-19 crisis has hit the tourism economy hard with unprecedented effects on jobs, business, as well as economy. Tourism was one of the first sectors to be deeply impacted by the pandemic, and measures introduced to contain the virus led to a near complete cessation of tourism activities around the world. This is obvious thing. As the pandemic continues to evolve, the full consequences are not yet clear. However, a return to business as usual is unlikely. Like I said, the estimations are 2023, 2025. We can hopefully see that we are back to normal like we were pre-COVID times. Policymakers will need to learn from the crisis to build a stronger, more resilient tourism economy for the future. We are talking about more resilient. What it means is no matter what crisis happened, the tourism industry should not completely collapse the way it did now. What are the few lessons for the future? Now, crisis has been a call to action to governments at all levels to respond in a coordinated way, and has highlighted the importance of integrated tourism policy approaches to support recovery. Now, this was by far one of the most biggest lessons to learn. Please understand, tourism industry is a global industry. We need to have some kind of uniform policies, whether it was in relation with vaccinations, insurances, whether it was in relation to which document is okay for which countries. All of this, in this crisis, we understood that there are too much of ununiformity in this. So this crisis has given us a call as to what is the machinery or what is the procedure to have a more uniform framework of rules, regulations, and how we can make sure that those rules and regulations are accepted by everybody involved. Delivering well-targeted and accessible supports as quickly and efficiently as possible to vulnerable tourism businesses, workers, tourists, has and continues to be crucial. So we are talking about the bailout packages. We are talking about the support system for the employees. And there, here I can also talk about the vaccination drives, whether you know those were those should be sponsored by the companies or not. So one of the point is also that. The government at all levels and the private sector need to be better prepared and have the capacity to react and adapt quickly. Obviously, we all are aware of how quickly we all adjusted to the new normal. The government has to be ready for such kind of thing in the future to come. Now, let's see what is it when we talk about strengthening the system. Now, strengthened multilateral cooperation and robust support is essential to reactivate tourism. Countries need to work together as the actions taken by one government have implications for travelers and businesses in other countries. This was very clear. So one country made some rule and the other country had to comply. Okay. Then there were effects on the travel business of that particular country. So it was very much interrelated. For the global tourism system, countries need to develop collaborative systems across borders and safely resume travel, restore traveler and business confidence, stimulate demand, and accelerate tourism recovery. Now let's see sector-specific support. Now we all know tourism is an amalgamation of lots of sectors, right? There are primary, secondary suppliers, and everybody come together and tourism industry is formed. Sector-specific support are needed to address a particular need of a particular set of tourism sector, whether it is needs of tourism workers, businesses involved, of the destination involved, of the support. All of these are different. Their needs are different. So the support to each of them would be different. Those parts of the tourism ecosystem that are not yet open for businesses and where the demand is likely to be depressed or constrained for some time will require particular attention. So we are talking about very vulnerable destinations which will show less recovery. Okay, so this sectors or this destinations should be supported with slightly more focus. The clarity of policy. Yes, providing policy clarity and taking steps to limit uncertainty will be the most crucial to support the tourism recovery. There has to be a clear communication. There has to be a well-designed policy. Also, there has to be, the data needs to be coming from a particular source. There has to be evidence that that particular data or that particular news or information is real, or else it will get lost in the sea of fake news or sea of wrong information. So clear communication, well-designed information policy, and clarity on the epidemiological criteria will be particularly important where there is a need to change travel restrictions and containment measures in response to virus outbreaks and the shifting of sanitary situations. Improving the evidence base. Now, improving the evidence base to inform policy and business decisions will be the key. Through information gathering, research, and data analysis, this particular era has taught us how statistics is most important. How the information on that statistics is very important, and more importantly, how the decisions were based on those statistics. So improving the evidence base to inform policies and business decisions will be the key. The second point says reliable and consistent indicators are needed to evaluate the effectiveness of programs and initiatives and monitor progress on tourism recovery and resilience. Now, we all understand that certain policies are made, but what will be the indicators whether the policy was positive or whether it was working, or did it work, or did it achieve its aim? So when we are going to formulate a policy, when we are going to formulate a rule or a regulation, we have to make sure that we introspect and understand whether it is actually working towards why, actually achieving the aim of it or not. Let's see what the future holds. In general, the kind of tourist that will emerge in the post-COVID world will be more aware, not only of the environment, but of their own approach to travel. So we have spoken about how it will be a more personal decision, right? We have also spoken about the lessons which COVID-19 has taught on a personal level too. So the tourist who is going to be out there is going to be more mature tourist. The pandemic has made us think about how and why we want to travel. In future journeys, especially long distance travel, will be better prepared and will be made less frequently. This is here to stay. Road trips can make a comeback. So like I had spoken about it earlier, people would rather take a road trip, okay, to nearby destinations, enjoy the views, have a more of open spaces for them. So road trips are making a strong comeback. Flights can be cheaper, flight can be available, but till we are back to normal, till the travelers have the confidence, they would rather take the road trips rather than taking a flight to a long destination, far destination. So travel advisors will be most useful. Now this is something which we can see is very, very positive. Suddenly travel agents had their importance, okay? So people understood that there is a travel agent, okay? There is a travel advisor who knows more than we do. And more importantly, we require them, these travel advisors right now, because if there is any kind of emergency, there is somebody to rely on. Travel advisors will become indispensable, which is a good sign. Travel agents and tour operators are regaining trust due to their knowledge and connections in the industry, which ultimately justifies the commissions that they are paid. Now let us come to a part wherein we will try to understand what are the things that a traveler should think before that person travels. Now COVID has forced us to take several precautions. So first and foremost is, are we vaccinated? Am I vaccinated against COVID-19? Now, please don't treat the vaccination as a compulsion, okay? Since it is a rule that a vaccination should be there, that is not the reason why a person should get vaccinated. Vaccinations are protection against COVID-19, and so one must be vaccinated. Are you at increased risk of severe illness? Now, before taking the travel, we should make sure that the traveler is actually not a high-risk person. So for example, there are evidences that there are high-risk person, meaning, you know, somebody who is aged, somebody who has diabetes or other diseases, which will make it more fatal. The infection will be more fatal for them. So are you at increased risk of severe illness? you live with someone who is at increased risk of severe illness. So if I am a traveler, okay, am I living with aged parents? Am I living with somebody who is diabetic or has some other disease conditions? Is it going to affect them? So I can be infected, nothing happens to me, but I can be a carrier and infect the other person. Does your home or destination have requirements or restrictions for travelers? Now, if I'm traveling to go to XYZ place, what are the rules? Am I allowed to go there? What is the scenario at that place? Is it low risk? Is it high risk? What is the scenario comparatively of the origin place where I come from? Is it a low risk? Is it a high risk? So all of these questions are going to come before we travel. Now, let's see when we are supposed to advise to a traveler to not take that travel. You have been exposed to COVID-19 unless you're fully vaccinated or recovered from COVID-19 in the past 90 days. Do not travel. You are sick, obviously do not travel. You tested positive for COVID-19 and you're still in isolation. Your isolation period has not ended. Definitely a no for a travel. You are waiting for the results of COVID-19 test. So if you have taken the test results have not yet come. You're super confident about not being sick, but don't travel. Make sure that the test results come, they are negative, and only then travel. What if you actually proceed ahead, you go to the destination and then you are positive, all right, COVID positive, it's going to not only affect you financially, but it's also going to ruin your travel plans. So keeping yourself safe during travel. So obviously there are certain things which are advised. In spite of all this, we want people to travel in a safe mode. So these are certain things which we now follow. Wash your hands regularly, frequently. Remember to avoid touching your face with unwashed hands. Keep the distance. Social distancing has to be obviously followed. Stay in a place with good hygiene, cleanliness, avoid crowds, wear a mask, seek medical help if you develop symptoms. So what is it that we are looking ahead? The measures put in place today will shape the tourism tomorrow. We have already spoken about that. Governments need to already consider the longer term implications of the crisis while staying ahead of the digital curve, supporting the low carbon transmission, and promoting the structural transformation needed to build a strong, more sustainable, and resilient tourism economy. So over here, there are many things which we are talking about. We are talking about carbon transmissions. Okay, I am assuming that you already know that there are certain policies which are trying to make airlines business more sustainable with respect to environment. Okay, we are talking about green economies. We are talking about digital curve. We want to digitalize everything. We want everything to be on the internet. We are trying to make sure that it is virtual, the way the operations are taking place. Okay, so all of this is something which we are actively working to achieve. Now, travel and testing. We all know that there are certain kind of tests which every traveler has to go. They are different for vaccinated people, they are different for unvaccinated people. If you have been fully vaccinated, the CDC states that you do not need to get tested before or after your trip within the USA or quarantine after your return. Now, please note, this particular rules keep changing as and how the situation arises. So every single traveler has to make sure that they have the latest information pertaining to their travel plan. Now let's see for unvaccinated people. Testing before and after travel can reduce the risk of spreading COVID-19. If you haven't been vaccinated, the CDC recommends getting tested with a viral test 1 to 3 days before your trip. So ideally, unvaccinated people are a risk. But in spite of that, there are countries, airlines, which allow unvaccinated people to travel with test. All right, so test results has to be there. So that was all about COVID, its effect, its impact on international tourism. I am hoping and assuming that the session was enriching enough for you to have an overview of international tourism and COVID-19. Thank you so much.